And I have a word for you. I want you to get comfortable. I want you to come back up at the end of this, all right? I'll have a song here for you. I feel like the Lord wants me just to move straight into the Word of God tonight at this time. If you're watching with us online, thank you so very much for joining us. If you participate in giving, we're going to do that at the end of this service. You can do that with PayPal. We'll do that in the front and electronically. But right now, I want to go straight to the Word of God. The Lord gave me a word today for this church and this service tonight. If you're ready to receive it, say, Pastor, I receive it right now. Now, I want you to say, Lord, I want to take it into my spirit, and I want it to be part of me tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit's here to minister tonight. I could feel that, and I'll be honest with you. There's sometimes I walk in here, and I'm so full of energy, I don't know what to do, and sometimes I'm so not full of energy, I don't know what to do, and tonight was a not night until Pastor Emily started leading, and it's a now night now. It's a now night. Amen. Go to John chapter 9. I'm reading from the NIV, Lonnie. In John chapter 9, we hear a story. This isn't a parable. This is a story, a truth that happened in the 3.5 years of the public ministry of Jesus on this earth. And the Bible says in John chapter 9, verse 1, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. This is really important. You'll see the words in just a moment. This is very important, John chapter 9, if you have your Bibles, verse 1. This is very important to look at this. And by the way, before I go any further, she might get me for saying this, but your pastor Ruth is sick in bed for the last 2 days and needs your prayer. So would you keep her? She's got a bug, a virus, not a COVID. I'm so sick of that, I don't know what to do. She's just sick. She's got a little bug. We've all gone through our house, and she is the last recipient of it. But I know you'll pray for her. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. This is important to understand this phrase. He had never, ever seen anything. He imagined he could feel forms, but he had no idea what a color was. He had no idea what it meant to look into the eyes of someone and feel that love or that concern or see the anger of anyone. He had no concept. He had a theory in his mind of what it would be like. Blind from birth. So his disciples ask him, well, who messed up here? How come the boy's blind? Was it his mom and dad? Did they sin? Or what happened that this man would be born this way? And Jesus says something here that's really erratic. It's strange. And you will wonder why someone would have to go, hi, Sean. I'm so glad to see you. That's one of our first Restoration Connection people in the history of this church. When I was running it. Done much better now. The disciples thought something had to be wrong. The fact was he was born in an earth, in a world that's sin ridden. He didn't have a choice about it. You were born on this earth, in this world that's sin ridden, and really you didn't have a choice. That wasn't your choice. You were born. But you were born with God's understanding of who you are. You see, God knew you before you were even conceived. He said, before you were knitted in your mother's womb, I knew you. Not only that, he knows all the days of your life. He knows every day of your life. He has a plan. Sin has a plan. We have a will. We're right in the middle. If we yield our will to God, then we follow his plan. If we yield our will to the sin we were born in, we follow sin's plan. If we're blind at birth, spiritually, and we are, then it's hard to see or to tell what's what. A blind man cannot tell me what it's like to be blind. Because he doesn't have anything to compare it to. A blind man cannot tell me what it's like to be blind. He can say, I'm blind. But that's all he can say. So Jesus says to these men, neither is how I pronounce it, this man or his parents sinned. He was born into this condition, but it wasn't because he did something personally. It was a condition he was born into. You're not a sinner because you did something, really, even though you may have done a lot of somethings. I have. But I was a sinner because I was born into this earth, and this earth is under a curse that happened way a long time ago called the Adamic curse in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, which is a true event that allowed sin to come into a perfect environment. And so everyone born from that point forward is born under that curse, and Jesus came to get you out of that curse. And he can do it. He said, neither this man nor his parents, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. God had a plan for a blind man born blind before he was even born. God has a plan for you born in sin before you were even born. He said, but it happened, verse 3, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in this man. Now I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. If you're watching online, listen closely. If you're in here, listen closely. God does things in your life so he can display his glory through you. He does things in this life in you that can display his love through you. He can show how he can take someone born blind, as it were, spiritually, and cause them to have sight spiritually. But everything God does, he does it so he can use you to show his glory to somebody else. So if you say, I've got a bad background, or I've had a tough life, or some bad things happen, I'm not saying that's good, and I'm saying so it was comfortable, because it's not. I'm not saying that you were the whole reason, and you might be a lot of it. I don't know. Those circumstances, Jesus told his disciples, doesn't matter. The fact is, he was born so I could display my glory through him. And I'm telling you this tonight, if you grasp anything I'm telling you, you were born so God could display his glory through your life. And he wants to do that. Verse 4 says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night's coming when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. He was telling his disciples a little bit of a riddle here that they would later understand. He was saying, I was sent by God to show you what God's like. I wasn't sent by God so we could understand our creation better. He said, I was sent by God so you would know who God's like. And you would understand God. And that understanding comes through you and I, in our circumstances, in our hard times, in the rough conditions. And that word, I want to emphasize that, because this is the title of the message tonight, circumstances. And verse 6 says, after saying this, he spit on the ground and he made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. I preached a message one night, day, sometime, called the DNA of God. The saliva of Jesus. The divine DNA. deoxyribonucleic acid, a form of chain of molecules that form who we are, personality, who we are, everything about us. And everything in God's DNA is life and reconstruction and bringing us back before the garden. He takes the DNA of God and adds it to mud, dirt, which is the very premise of creation in Genesis chapter 1. He takes the dirt of the earth and makes a man out of it. He adds the DNA of God and adds life to it. So he does a little capsule of the very nature of God so we can know what God's like. He takes the DNA of God, the dirt of humanity, the making up of who we are. He makes a combination, and when he puts it on blindness, he said, now go to the pool. Let me find out where I was. He said he told him to go to the pool of Siloam, and that means sent. Like go, sent. So the man went and washed and came home. Came home seeing. He has mud on his eyes, and he sends him to a place to wash his eyes off that would cause him to be one who is sent by God. You're saved to be sent by God. You're not saved to come to church and sit in a pew and be a good this. You're saved to go from that point forward with a different perspective, because you were blind, now you can see. And you're going to go not with all understanding, but you're going to go with a perspective of who touched me and what happened to me and what difference it makes in my life. Being saved doesn't mean walking down to the front and signing an 8x10, 5x7 card or whatever and joining the church. Being saved is a revolutionary change of the DNA of your soul that takes you from being under the curse of Adam, no longer in the family of Adam, but now you're in the family of Jesus Christ by the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. You're changed. You're changed completely. This man's change was incredible, because for the first time, he could tell you what it was like to be blind. He was blind but didn't know how to tell you. You're lost and don't know how to tell me. You have sin in your life, you don't know what to do with it. You have an image, you have a perspective, you have something that religious people have told you is wrong, you shouldn't do it, but you don't understand it. God brings understanding to us, so when we can see what sin is, we'll hate what sin is. That's the difference between religion and relationship. Religion will tear you up and condemn you. It'll keep you in the hole you're in, but relationship with Jesus Christ will add a DNA to you that will give you a perspective of this is who he is. And this is what he can do. Oh, this is a great part from chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Listen to this. He said, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? And some claimed, yeah, that's him. Others said, oh, no, it only looks like him. There was such a change in this man, because he was seeing, that his neighbors goes, now, they're born. He's played with my kids all their life. He's 40 years old. My kids, they played together all their lives, and he sure looks like him. You don't act like him anymore. He sure looks like him, but he doesn't act like him. He doesn't talk like him. He's not stumbling over life. He's walking in absolute perception of what's going on. He understands. He has an appreciation. Couldn't be the same guy. Others said, no, it just looks like him. But he himself, he said this, I'm the man. Oh, man, I'm the man. I am the man. I'm the man. I'm the man. That's what he said. Well, he said it so many different ways. I'm the man. And then, well, no, I don't think so. Because you see, a lot of religion today wants to keep you where you were. Blind beggar. You're easier to manage when you're a blind beggar than understand when you're alive and can see and you're not the same person. They can't figure that out. But I've got some news for you. You can't either. You can't figure it out. You come to church and you're going to bet all I know is I felt something. I wish I could give you a definition of how it felt, what that felt mean. I can't accept Jesus. That's all I can say. You experienced Jesus. You felt something you hadn't felt before. You saw something you hadn't seen before. You experienced something you hadn't experienced before, and you don't understand it. And I can tell you that if you've been saved 100 years or 10,000 years, you'll never, ever fully comprehend the glory of redemption. Never. All you have to do is say, I know I was blind. I know what it's like to be blind. And I'm not going to let you keep me blind. I don't care what you say. I'm the man. Then how was your eyes opened? If you're the man. He replied, the man they called Jesus. Yeshua. Oh, that's one of those Hebrew names. You know why? Because there's no J sounds in Hebrew. So if you say Jesus without a J, it's Yeshua. That's the same word. But it means Messiah. It means the Christ. It means the chosen one, the anointed one, the Son of God. The man they called Jesus made some mud out of humanity and put it on my eyes with his DNA in it. And he told me to go wash in the pool called Siloam. That meant I'm going to send you after I open your eyes. So I went and washed, and guess what? I'm the man. I could see. I can tell you what it's like to be a sinner. But before, I wasn't sure. I had a perspective. I had a rule book. Can't do this. Can't do that. But that's a foggy image of what sin is. Well, I know the church says, I remember when I was just a young teenager before I gave my heart to Christ, and my father was a pastor, and people say, won't you go do this with us? And I would say, well, the church, our church doesn't believe in that. That's a blind perspective of God. The rules. Let me tell you something. If anyone's trying to use the scripture as a rule book to you, send them out. Because the Word of God isn't a rule book, it's a joy book. It's a freedom book. It's a lamp to darkness. It's a light when you can't see the path. It's the healing when you're sick and the deliverance. And it's the true perspective of God in written word. Where's the man? Where is he? Verse 12. You tell us where he's at. I don't know. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with not understanding what you feel. There's not one thing wrong without completely understanding what happened to you when you walked into this house and you begin to feel something different. you begin to experience something different. I can't give you a definition. I can tell you, I can say it's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit, but if you don't have spiritual eyesight, then you're guessing. I think I have a perspective of what you're saying. But when Jesus opens your eyes and forgives you of your sins and cleanses you, then you know it's Jesus. And things are different. Things change. So they went out and got the religious guys, the Pharisees. Pardon me. I'm really having trouble with my voice. Duh. They brought the Pharisees, the religious people in. Sounds like something, Pastor, you got a little grudge against religious people. Yes, sir, I do. Because religious people remove the supernatural. Religious people remove the love and the mercy. Religious people make this a rule book to follow. And I want a relationship with God. And I find that through the name of that one Jesus Christ. That's how I understand, because he's the one that made me see. They got the religious guys. And it just so happened that the day, in verse 14, that the day that he came, in fact, in finishing 13, that's all right, the day he opened his eyes was the Sabbath. Now that's Saturday, if you're a Jew, that's Saturday from sundown, or Friday from sundown to Saturday to sundown. That's the Sabbath. And you don't do anything on the Sabbath. You don't pick up, you don't sit down, you don't touch, you don't work, you don't do anything. So they said he did this on the, he broke the rules. Can I tell you something about Jesus? He wrote the rules. And he didn't write them to stay. He wrote the rules to fulfill. That means you're getting more than Moses got. You're getting more than the law was able. The law will kill. The word of God will bring life. The word broke the rules. Jesus. Verse 16 says, some of the Pharisees said, this man's not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others says, but how can a sinner perform such signs? How can a sinner open blind eyes? Man, I'm really messed up now. People will come to you when you're a new Christian and try to mess you up with theology. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll never mislead you. The Word of God will not mislead you. So they turned again to the blind man and said, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. What do you think? And they still didn't believe that the man had been born blind. They were still trying to keep him what he used to be. I'm emphasizing this to you today. Religion and the world will try to keep you what you used to be. A reformed alcoholic, a reformed drug user, a reformed sinner, and that's all of us born into sin. A reformed prostitute, a reformed bank robber, a reformed tax evader, and all the white collar crime. A reformed sinner, they'll try to keep you there. They still don't believe. So they go to his parents and they threaten his parents with excommunication. If you say Jesus did it, they knew they were going to throw him out of church. So they said, well, he's old enough, ask him. That meant he was 40. Ask him. So the second time they get the man, they summoned him who had been blind. Anybody in here had been blind? give glory to God by telling the truth. We know this man's a sinner. He replied this, I'm not going to get into your theology. I'm not going to get into your rules. I'm not getting into your foolishness. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, verse 25, my text tonight. But I do know, one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. That's what I know. I know what it's like to be blind now because I had an encounter with Jesus. I know what it means to imagine things, and I know the reality of things. I know the difference now of what I thought it was and what it is because of Jesus Christ. Well, the Pharisees never gave an inch. The hardness of heart. One of the greatest fears that I have for anyone I meet is a hardened heart. That frightens me for that individual more than anything I know. And there's a lot of religious people that have doctrines that worship the doctrine more than the God of the doctrine. They're absolutely consumed with their doctrine. A hardness of heart. It sounds like they hate people instead of love people. And they do. But when Jesus touches you and you can see, man, you've got a whole different perspective. Can't explain it, but you know it's real. Here's what that man was saying. He's saying, I was in a circumstance. Now, all of you are in a circumstance. A circumstance is a circle around you where you are. You'll go from circumstance to circumstance in your life. You'll have many circumstances. This man was chosen by God, a blind man, who couldn't tell you what it was like to be blind, to a man now that was able to see and tell you what it was like to be blind. This is a man that had an encounter with Jesus. He didn't understand him, but he sure knew he could. He found out that I know Jesus is greater than my circumstance. That's for you. That's for me. The blind man knows that Jesus is greater than his circumstance because he was blind and now he's not. He knew that not only was he greater, he's bigger than my circumstance. So he could say he's bigger than my circumstance, he's greater than my circumstance. And I know that what everyone else couldn't do, Jesus could do. So these are some rules that are in your life tonight that are true. He's greater than your circumstance, regardless of your circumstance. He's bigger than your circumstance, regardless of your circumstance. And what nothing else can do, he can do. That was what this man learned in such a short time. I'm not going to let anyone keep me in this circumstance. I'm not the blind beggar any longer. I'm not going to act like a blind beggar. I'm going to act like someone that's been given sight. I'm going to be free in my life and walk with Christ. So I'm going to do something. This circle, this circumstance that's around me, I'm going to step out of that circumstance. That's my action. He went to the pool. He obeyed Jesus. He stepped out of his circumstance, away from the religious crowd, went by himself to a pool called Siloam, which means sent, not knowing that what he was doing was an act of obedience by just saying, I'm not staying in this circumstance. That's all. His action caused a reaction from God. His obedience caused a miracle to happen in his life. This circumstance that you're in tonight is a circle around you. It surrounds you. But there's a world outside of your circle. There's a world outside of your circumstance. Oh, Pastor, I'm glad you're talking to all those poor sinners down there. I'm talking to you, old saint. I'm talking to religious people. I'm talking to 50-year Christians and 5-minute Christians. I'm talking to everybody that breathes air on this earth, that we get put in circumstances by the enemy, and we have to make a choice to stay in that circumstance. It may be a state of mind. It might be a condition. It could be a financial need. It could be a physical, mental, emotional, relational need. It's a circumstance, and it's surrounded me, and I'm making decision to step out of it into the freedom of Jesus Christ by his word. Who did this? I don't know. I just know he was Jesus. So they made the plans to kick him out. The Pharisees were so sweet to him. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a blind man. Amen. Truth. If this man were from God, and they started saying what he was and wasn't, they didn't know they were blind. So finally they said, you were steeped in sin at birth. That's the only right things that the Pharisees said. They couldn't see the sin in their life, but they could see his. You are steeped in sin from your birth. Let me find it again. Verse 34. You are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. They threw him out of his circumstance. Kicked out of the I can't and you won't and it isn't changed. Kicked him out of the doubt club. Kicked him out of the I'm going to keep you where you were club. They just flat kicked him out. And he was out here by himself. And Jesus found him. And when Jesus found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? That's a term for Messiah. Do you believe in God's Son? That's about all he knew about it. That's all you have to know. Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And he said this. He said, I was physically blinded, and I can see physically now, and I know the change that's in me. I understand what's happened to me to a point, but I don't really understand the changer. Who he was, who changed me, how he changed me. I know the feelings I have, but I don't know how I got them, and I don't know who gave them to me. And Jesus said, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? And he said, yes. That was it. That was the simplicity of his confession. In verse 37, Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. Look into my eyes. Look into my eyes for the first time. Look into my eyes. And when he did, the completion of the transformation occurred in this man. When you come to Jesus Christ and you offer him your little thing, your life, and he tells you, then obey me, step out of your circumstance. Right now, today, tonight, you're circled. I saw a circle as I was preparing this, and people were standing in the circumstances, circumstance of depression, the circumstance of oppression, the circumstances of habits, the circumstances of sin, the circumstances of unbelief, the circumstances of fear, the circumstances of I don't understand, all these circumstances. And you know what to do. He says, step out of them. That's his act, your act of obedience. I'm going to step out of the thing that owns me right now. And he said, when you do, you're going to look into my eyes and you're going to know the completion and understand that I'm the one that did it. I'm the one who could when nobody else could. I'm the one who did when nobody else would. I'm the one that's bigger than anybody else. I'm the one that's greater, and I am your God. But you got to step out of your circumstance. You walked into this room, and people watching me online, listen, you walked into this room with a circumstance. And all the religious things and all the baloney and junk you've read and tapes you've listened to and books you've read and seminars and conferences, don't get me wrong, but it's all there. And you're just going, I got to do this, I got to do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. I have to do this first, step one, I got a recipe. And Jesus is saying, just step out of it. In faith, step out. I'm stepping out of it in faith to believe because I'm answering the beckoning call of God that says, step out of my circumstance just long enough for me to give you an instruction. You be obedient and I'll set you free. All right, Pastor Emily, come here. Musicians, come here. There's a song that says, all my fountains are in you. Now listen to me. You'll have to find it.
Which one?
All my fountains.
The fast one?
Are in you. Yeah. Okay. First time I heard this song, I was in Nashville, Tennessee preaching. And Ron Hemby, who sang with the Imperials for a long time, led this song years ago. And I heard this song for the first time. I went, wow. All of everything that's in me is waiting to be unleashed. There's a fountain in me ready to flow out of me that can't, because they're all in Jesus, and I'm going to release them to Jesus tonight. Oh, it's a fast song. It's a moving song, because we're going to have a fast service. We're going to have a moving service. We're going to have words that tell me I can step out of my circumstance and Jesus Christ will anoint me with the DNA of God and with my humanity, and the combination is going to give me eyesight and freedom tonight. And it's for people that have served God 100 years and for brand new Christians. Circumstances is where you're at tonight. I want everybody to want to step out of their circumstance, come to this.